precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Ungrateful Nations versus U.S. Bankrolling of the UN. Maybe France or Germany would like to host the UN for a while. How about that? The United States gives out, or had it given out already, $13.3 billion tax dollars in direct foreign aid annually. The United States is above and beyond the single most generous benefactor of the United Nations, donating $2.4 billion of your money to primarily third world dictators. This amount is 25% of the United Nations budget. In addition, the United States also gives another $1.4 billion tax dollars to United Nations programs and agencies. The American taxpayers fund more for the United Nations than all of the other 177 member nations combined. Did you know that? What most Americans do not realize is that the vast majority of the recipients of the U.S. foreign aid routinely vote against the wishes of the United States in the United Nations at an alarming average rate of 74%. In other words, of the $13.3 billion tax dollars that is invested in direct foreign aid, only about 26% or $3.5 billion went to support people who endorsed American initiatives or causes. How about that? A staggering $9.8 billion tax dollars went to causes and people who were and are in open and direct opposition to the United States' interests and objectives. Listed, as I'm going to quote these listed nations, are the actual voting records of various Arabic Islamic states, which are recorded in both the United States, U.S. State Department, and United Nations records. Here we go. Kuwait votes against United States 67% of the time. Qatar votes against United States 67% of the time. Morocco votes against the United States 70% of the time. United Arab Emirates votes against the United States 70% of the time. Both Jordan and Tunisia votes against the United States 71% of the time. Guess what? Saudi Arabia votes against the United States 73% of the time. Yemen, Algeria, and Oman, they voted 74% against the United States. Sudan and Pakistan votes against the United States 75% of the time. Libya votes against the United States 76% of the time. What's amazing to me, folks, it appears that the nations, these Arab Islamic nations that the United States of America sponsors financially, the ones that they sponsor the most appear to be voting against United States initiatives the most. Notice how the country of Egypt votes against the United States 79% of the time. Lebanon votes against the United States 80% of the time. India votes against the United States 81% of the time. Syria votes against the United States 84% of the time. How about that? United States foreign aid to those that hate us. Egypt, for example, after voting 79% of the time against the United States, still receives, you won't believe this, $2 billion annually in U.S. foreign aid. Jordan votes 71% against the United States and receives $192,814,000 annually in U.S. foreign aid. Pakistan votes 75% against the United States and as an act of appreciation, the United States, guess what, gives them $6,721,000 annually in U.S. foreign aid. India votes 81% of the time against the United States, and guess what? They receive $143,699,000 annually in U.S. foreign aid. In the last year, before all the stuff happened there with the Taliban and also Osama bin Laden, the Taliban had terrorized the people of Afghanistan and gave safe haven to Osama bin Laden. And they had received, guess what, $143 million in U.S. foreign aid. Sudan voted 75% against the United States and received $1,121,000 of U.S. foreign aid. And may I also add to the fact that Sudan is one of the most persecuting of nations against Bible-believing Christians. Not only that, the U.S. State Department stated that the Sudanese government is guilty of providing a safe haven for a variety of terrorist groups, including Osama bin Laden's organization, the Egyptian Jihad, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Hamas. The Islamic government has also conducted a literal reign of terror, as I've already said, against Christians living in the southern part of the country. And the Palestinian Authority will receive $500,000 in U.S. foreign aid over the next 5 years. This happened due to the Oslo Agreement in 1993, a deal which was endorsed and avidly supported by now, or maybe by the time you hear this broadcast, then Senator Hillary Clinton, who was then First Lady. The Clinton administration sought to establish good relations with terrorist groups despite their support of terrorism and anti-Western stances. The Palestinians were seen on ABC News openly celebrating and dancing in the streets at the news of both suicide bombings on September 11th and many of the other terrorist attacks against Israel. Israel, it must be noted, receives $3 billion in U.S. foreign aid. And you want to know what I have to say about that? Good. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. We ought to. That's God's chosen people. We ought to be good to them. However, for the last 5 years, it has an average record of voting with the United States 94% of the time. Let me repeat that now. We did give a lot to Israel, but Israel is the nation, I believe they vote more for U.S. initiatives than any other nation. They voted for, with the United States, 94% of the time. How about that, folks? There is clearly no incentive for most countries to support the United States, as they will receive U.S. foreign aid regardless of their stances. Perhaps it is time for the United States, my dear listening audience, to deny things such as money, scientific, technological, medical expertise, and education to nations who simply will not assist or protect American interest. The documentation for this is from a reliable source, but the individual who put this together does not have his name on this information. So whoever you are, I appreciate it. God bless you. And if you happen to hear this broadcast and you hear this information, say, well, I'm the one that put all this together. I would like to know about it. But I'm sure this information is accurate. I've seen it in other news reports. And, of course, if you don't believe it, search it out yourself. I'm trying to save you some time. Well, there's interesting facts regarding what Muhammad said about the land of Israel. All we seem to hear from the Arab nations is that the land of Israel does not belong to the Jewish people. But, you know, according to Muhammad, it contradicts what the Arabs are saying. In fact, Muhammad said very, very clearly in at least three places, and there could be more, that favors the land of Israel to the Jew, not to the Arabs. Evidently, one of the mentions of his favor towards the Jews in regards to their homeland is mentioned in a section in the Quran entitled The Dinner Table. In fact, Muhammad relates the story of the Exodus and claims that Allah, his name for the God of the Exodus, and told Moses to enter the Holy Land, which Allah has prescribed for you, he says. He goes further to say that Allah has not given the land to any other among the nations. That makes the Holy Land, in the eyes of Muhammad, the property of the children of Jacob and to no other people. The promise is located in chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. And this is what he said, quote, "And when Musa," or Moses, "said to his people, 'O my people, remember the favor of Allah upon you when he raised prophets among you and made you kings and gave you what he had not given to any other among the nations, O my people, enter the holy land which Allah has prescribed for you, and turn not on your backs, for then you will turn back losers.'" Muhammad did not like the Jews, but knew no other way to relate his story of Exodus. Of course, he changed the name of Jehovah to Allah. Nevertheless, he recognized the fact that God gave the land to Israel and no one else. It is a shame that his followers do not believe their own so-called holy book. In another section entitled The Elevated Places, Muhammad is bragging that his God, with a small g, that is, Allah, had given the Holy Land to the children of Israel because, though weak, they patiently bore up under the oppression of the Egyptians. He claims that he, quote, unquote, blessed the Jews, but destroyed the homeland of another nearby warlord named Pharaoh. The passage is located in chapter 7, verse 137. And he says, Muhammad says, quote here, and we made the people who were deemed weak to inherit the earthen lands and the western ones, which we had blessed, and the good word of your Lord was fulfilled in the children of Israel because they bore up, in parentheses, sufferings patiently, and we utterly destroyed what Pharaoh and his people had wrought and what they built. Quote unquote. Such an ancient admission by Muhammad should not be overlooked by the Islamic world today, nor should it be ignored by the United States and the United Nations. Allah, so-called, will not be pleased with the Palestinians because they have this attitude about Israel. And of course, that attitude is the Palestinians want the heartland of Israel for a Palestinian state. Now, a third passage is located in a section entitled The Children of Israel. Here, Muhammad gives a personal message to the Israelites. He specifically tells them to dwell in the land. It can be read in chapter 17, verse 104. He says, Muhammad says, and we said to the Israelites after him, dwell in the land, and when the promise of the next life shall come to pass, we will bring you both together in judgment. Well, the theme is clear. The promised land belongs to the Jews, certainly not to the Palestinians, since the Arabs will not believe their own holy book. God, whose name is Jehovah, not Allah, will give the land to Israel. We can rest assured that no Palestinian state will succeed in the Holy Land. Now, the Bible is very clear on what's going to happen in these last days. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So, folks, we have seen that the Jewish people were scattered to the four corners of this earth, but now God has gathered them back to their land. And what a great fulfillment of prophecy. In our generation, we have seen it. And this is amazing. But the warning to the Gentile nations is very clear. The warning is that the Lord is going to see to it that the Gentile nations are going to have their day of visitation by God Almighty. So, just let's remember the promise that God did give to the Jewish people. One of the obvious verses in the book of Genesis is that God indeed had promised this land only to the Jewish people. This is recorded in Genesis 15, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Thank you for Prophecy in the News for that information and quotes about Muhammad and what he said about the land of Israel. Now, in Israel today, the title, The World's Heroes Are in Israel. 34 police chiefs from across the United States and Canada, along with FBI agents, met in Israel for a four-day conference entitled Police and Justice in the Age of Global Terror. The curriculum included seminars on identifying terrorist cells, organizing civil defense against terror, and dealing with the outcome of a terrorist attack. During their stay in Israel, participants placed a wreath at Rabin Square in Tel Aviv, where Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated in 1995. Going on to another Israel Today article, is it true the State of Israel is an artificial creation of the United Nations? The Zionists could have chosen another location. Is it true? Well, Israel has an uninterrupted history that's older than most other nations. Its birth certificate is recorded in the Bible some 3,300 years ago. Archaeological finds from the kingdoms of David and Solomon provide undeniable historical proof. Even when the Jews were dispersed among the nations, the land of Israel was reserved for the people of Israel. While foreigners have passed through at different times in history, the Jewish people were always attached to their homeland. The legitimacy of the State of Israel never depended on a UN vote, but on God's approval. There is no other land the Jews consider their homeland. History has clearly proven that the Jews have remained outsiders in all other nations. God promised that in the last days, He would take His people from all other nations and bring them back to their land. Of course, you can refer that to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 21. He will bring them back to the land from whence they came, not Uganda, not America, or anywhere else, but the land of Israel is where He would bring them back to. In 1917, then British Foreign Secretary Lord Balfour declared that His Majesty's government favors the creation of a national homeland for the Jewish people in what was known at that time Palestine. Even Emir Faisal, the future king of Iraq, who represented the Arab position at the Paris Peace Conference in 1919, stated, quote, "We finally welcome the Jews home," unquote. Now, how come they never read that in the news media? I'll tell you why. Because there is a bias against Israel. Okay, now for just a brief moment, let's just turn our ears to some justice and morality issues here. A very interesting report titled "Protecting His House Against Burglar Could Bring 5-Year Jail Sentence." Justice appeared to be turned on its head when a burglar began court action to have one of his victims jailed for catching him red-handed. Can you imagine? Anthony McCoy, 31-year-old, was raiding the $300,000 home of Len Johnson when the father of two tackled him. McCoy was convicted of burglary, and was jailed for 2 years. Mr. Johnson, 37, said, "It's outrageous that I'm the one in the dock. I've never broken the law in my life. And now I'm being treated like a criminal. How crazy is that? All I was doing was protecting my family and home. There is no way I'm paying that burglar a penny in compensation. I would rather do time myself," he said. Mr. Johnson and his 35-year-old wife returned home to see McCoy glaring at them from the window of the bedroom. "We had only been out for 10 minutes when we pulled up and saw him staring at us," said Mr. Johnson. "As we got out of the car, two men ran out of the back door, so I chased after him. They ran over my fence at the back, and I ran behind them for about half a mile along the top of the cliffs and caught one of them. He couldn't run anymore, and he just collapsed into a ball. because he thought I was going to hit him and said, I didn't do anything. All I did was drag him by the coat, Mr. Johnson said, and march him back to the road. A friend saw the drama unfold and called police, who arrived within minutes. Mr. Johnson said McCoy said to the police, I had assaulted him. They didn't believe him because there wasn't a mark on either of us. He created such a fuss that a doctor examined him when he was taken into custody, and all he found was a red mark on his neck. McCoy's accomplice has never been traced. Oh, brother. This reported in the Daily Mail, page 23. If there's ever a verse in the Bible that describes what I've just read to you, it is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Thank you to the Midnight Call for supplying that article. And as I've said many, many times, we do not necessarily endorse all the sources by which we get our information, but they are the facts. And if you dispute anything, then just research it yourself. And if you find any discrepancies, why, you're always welcome to write us. Well, I sure hope you are being challenged with the reality that we are living in the latter times. These are the latter days, and it's a time to wake up and take notice. Now, we don't want you to leave because we got a very, very important message that's going to come your way, and therefore, let me encourage you to stay put and especially invite as many people as you can to listen to a very good message titled, What We Learn from an Old Testament Jew. That's right. Dr. Johnny Jones is going to be preaching that after this break, but do not go away. News and documentation, courtesy of Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad you've been able to stay with us for the remainder of this broadcast. We like to invite you to come even to the next broadcast, because I'm afraid that this message will not finish, and we won't have enough time to finish the whole message, but we'll endeavor to do so in the next broadcast. But we're thankful for Dr. Johnny Jones. He has a great love for the Jewish people, and he has a message from God titled, What We Can Learn from an Old Testament Jew.
Won't you turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 51, Psalm 51, amen? I'm glad, thank God, we have a Bible. We'd certainly be in trouble today without the Bible, amen? There ain't but one Bible, praise God, for us who are English-speaking people, amen? And we don't have to argue about it, debate about it, we're all agreement on it. And I give God the praise, I thank Him for it. I want to thank God that we serve a God that doesn't change. That's why He could write a Bible. If God was a changing God, He couldn't give you a Bible. He'd have to give you an update every now and again, like the yearbook encyclopedia. If you started reading the yearbook encyclopedia 20 years ago and looked at all the updates, about half what they told you 20 years ago was a lie. And now they tell you they didn't know the truth 20 years ago. But thank God the Lord doesn't change, amen? And I'm glad we serve the God of the Old Testament as well as the God of the New Testament. And thank God for the fact that when we're talking about Jewish evangelism, we're not preaching anything different to them that was already preached to them, amen? Yeah. And when the apostles began to preach to the Jews in the book of Acts, they were preaching out of the Old Testament. Yeah. They were telling them what the Word of God said. They were expounding to them the Scripture. As a matter of fact, if you read through the New Testament, the early part, you'll find that many believers were waiting on the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
They were looking for the Messiah. They expected the Messiah.
Yes.
And even there were people filled with the Holy Ghost of God waiting on the Lord Jesus to come, amen? Now, you can place that wherever you want to in your theology, amen, but I'm just telling you, God didn't start working in the New Testament. He's always been working, amen. And I praise Him, and I magnify Him, and I glorify Him, amen. Noah found it was by grace before the flood ever come, amen. Abraham found it was by grace after the flood, but before the law, amen. David found it was by grace during the law, praise God. And it's still by grace. When Paul got saved, it was still by grace. Amen. When he took the gospel to the Gentile, it was still by grace, and it's going to always be by grace. And I praise him for that. Thank God it's still repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those Old Testament saints were looking forward to Jesus coming. Amen. And they may know a whole lot more about it than you and I think they knew about it. Enoch knew enough to be able to preach, amen, that he was coming with 10,000s of his saints, praise God. He understood that, and I believe that every doctrine we believe today is in the Old Testament. You say, oh, it cannot be. Oh, I believe for sure it is, amen, because the Old Testament is our schoolmaster, and thank God it brings us to the knowledge of the things we need to know. Matter of fact, I believe the rapture is in the Old Testament, very clearly, amen. If you deal with Zechariah 14, you say the Lord is coming with all of his saints. You say, well, where's the rapture in that? That's the Lord coming back. That's the Lord coming with his saints. How'd they get over there? Amen. Glory to God, they had to be there before they left. Amen. They had to get there somehow. Hallelujah. There is a rapture in the Old Testament, and I praise God for it. I want to thank God that whatever we need to know, God can teach us. Amen. And I give him the glory. In Psalms 51, we're dealing with a prayer of repentance. And I want to believe today, and I want to say that there's no question that repentance, amen, is a necessary part of our faith today. Not just in getting saved, but in staying in the will of God. Matter of fact, you follow the concept of repentance, and I've got to be very fast today to get it done in time. If you follow the concept of repentance, it doesn't stop when you get born again. Matter of fact, you understand more about repentance after you got saved than before you got saved, amen. I've repented a lot more since I got saved than I did when I got saved, amen. Matter of fact, about all I've done since I got saved has been repenting, amen. My attention was drawn to this psalm by false doctrine. I was reading a book that was put out by some individuals. It's not written by a Baptist, but it was given out by some Baptists. And he declared in that book that there's no such thing as a sin nature. And he declared in that book in Psalm 51 that all that David was doing in Psalm 51 was trying to excuse his ungodliness. And I said, I need to search Psalm 51 over again. And I began to look at it and drew my attention. And that's what drew my mind to this chapter. Amen. Even though I've read it many, many times, it drew my mind to it more clearly or more intensively than maybe I had been before. And so I'm also gleaned out of the chapter just for a few moments, amen, and look at what the Word of God says about repentance, amen. Can we learn anything about repentance from a Jew? I believe we can, praise God. Matter of fact, I want to know everything that God wants me to know about repentance. And I believe there's a lot we don't know about repentance sometimes by the way we act and the way we do and the way we speak, amen. But listen, God's Word got a lot to say more than just the beginning of repentance. It's got a result at the end of it, amen. Thank God there is a result that comes through repentance, amen. There's a lot of folks who say a lot about repentance but don't know hardly anything about the result of it, amen. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. A repentant heart is one who is focused in two directions. Upon his condition, upon one person who can help him, and that's God. And outside of that, my friend, repentance is not going to work. Coming down the altar and saying, oh God, this is what happened. She was involved. He was involved. They were involved. That's not going to do anything with repentance. I've learned as a pastor, of all the time as I deal with folks, they like to blame somebody else. Amen. I mean, even in the Christian school, we've had a Christian school for 20-some years. I've had to discipline children, discipline parents, discipline families, had all sorts of problems and numbers of times. I've had parents come in and say, oh yes, they did that, but Sister so-and-so, she caused that. Blaming somebody else, amen. And if you're a pastor, every time you discipline somebody, you've got to deal with the fact that they'll say, but you handled it wrong, preacher. Oh yes, I shot all the windows of the church out, but you should have told everybody I did. I mean, somehow we need to recognize that repentance, amen, focuses upon two people. It focuses upon the person who is repentant and the only person who can help them, and that's God. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O God. Until a person realizes there's no hope for them outside the mercy of God. Until they recognize they're hopeless and helpless outside the mercy of God. My friend, there's going to be a doubt. There's going to be true repentance. The Jews, because they recognized they had hope in their lineage instead of in the fact of the truth, they said, we don't need anything. We don't need anything. We're Abraham's seed. I don't care whose seed you are, amen. Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. I mean, listen, David cried out to God for relief. He cried out to God for help, amen. He needed God to do something for him and nobody else can do. And he said, it's me and it's my, amen. It's my transgression. Oh, God, I need you to do something for me, amen. I want you to know that David never did one time appeal to the law. David never one time did appeal to the priesthood. David never one time did appeal to the sacrifice. David never one time did appeal to the tabernacle. David never one time did appeal to the Sabbath day. David never one time did appeal to all the feast days. David never one time appealed to any of those things. Why? My friend, he recognized they were all shadows and types. Praise God. And listen, unless a person recognizes there's no hope in religion, there's no hope, my friend, amen, in our works and our deeds and our actions, we come before God. There's nobody to say, oh God, I'm a great person. I've done this. I've done that. I tell you what, you need is mercy, amen. Hallelujah unto God. David didn't come saying, Lord, you know I'm the king. He didn't come saying, oh God, you know I killed the bear and the lion. I killed the giant. David never appealed to nothing he done. He never appealed to anything anybody else could do. He come appealing to one person, that was God. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, let me say something to you. God didn't become loving when Jesus died. He always has been loving. He didn't become a God of grace and mercy when Jesus Christ was born in this world. He's always been a God of grace and mercy. Matter of fact, when Jonah preached to the Ninevites, Jonah knew he was a God of grace and mercy. And the very reason Jonah was resistant to go was because he knew God was a God who would save. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then David said something. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Not, he said, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David said, oh God, only you can remove this transgression. Only you can take this away. Only you can cleanse me. Only you can purge me. But David said, it's me, it's mine. It's my sin. I'm at the fault. I'm the individual. I'm the one who did what was done, and I need God, you to help me. Amen. Until we come to the place, my friend, we're willing to admit who we are and what we've done. He said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. When sin, my friend, is recognized for what it is and we see what sin has done and what sin is, there's no need to come down to the altar and say, oh God, I'm sorry I've hurt my wife. I'm sorry I've done this. I'm sorry it's my children. There's no need for us to stand in the pulpits of America and say, hey, if no other reason you're to come to the altar for your wife's sake or your children's sake, I tell you what you'll do. You'll go back and go to hell for your wife's sake unless you come for God. God's sake, amen. You have sinned against God, amen. David had sinned against others. David had offended others. David had injured others. David had hurt others. But when it comes to dealing with a sin issue and getting right with God, David said, against thee, he said, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, amen. You say, preacher, should a person recognize they do others wrong? The prodigal son did. He said, I've sinned against heaven and you. He spoke of his father. But my friend, listen, when David come to get right with God, he recognized his sin was with God. Listen, you say, that preacher, look what he done. Read Nehemiah's prayers. Read Ezra's prayers. Read Daniel's prayers. Read Jeremiah's prayers. I'm telling you, friend, there ain't no other way but to come to God and say, dear God, this is me. Amen, amen, amen. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. Listen, David was not trying to escape the responsibility. David was saying, dear God, I want you to see this thing clearly. There is no good in me. Amen. I'm afraid too many times I've seen folks come to the altar. They were sad that they'd hurt their wife. They were sad that hurt their husband. They were sad that hurt their children. They were sad that hurt the pastor. They were sad that offended the church. But they were not broken that they had sinned against God. Amen. They had sinned against God. They had sinned against God. Amen. But thank God, repentance does a work in the believer. Does a work. He says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." And then David made a tremendous statement in verse number 7. Listen to this in verse number 7. Thank God, it's just like, amen, reading out the New Testament when it comes to assurance of salvation. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." He says, dear, listen, we know what David had done, but David knew in his heart, "Oh God, when I come before you, when I truly repent of my sin, you are able to cleanse me and I will be clean." Amen. I've noticed in our ranks, amen, in the last few years, I mean, thank God for old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching, and we've heard some of the good preaching I've ever heard in this camp meeting or this meeting, amen. But I want to tell you, we need to be very careful that we make folks understand there is something that will happen when you repent. God will make you clean. God will make you clean, amen. Thank God, he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Hey, this is not a New Testament mystery being unveiled. Read Isaiah chapter number 1. It doesn't matter how red your sin is, how scarlet your sin is. This Bible tells me you come and reason with God that God will make you white as snow. God will make you white as wool. Hey, hallelujah. Thank God for old-fashioned preaching. But we better let the sinner know God will cleanse them. God will wash them white as snow. God will cleanse them. Amen. We're living in a day of all sorts of wickedness and ungodliness. And I tell you what the sinners want to hear. I tell you what the Jews will have to hear. They want to hear there's a God who will wash them white as snow. Amen. We're not straining the grace of God. We're not straining the grace of God. We're not straining the grace of God. God wants to cleanse us. God wants to purge us. It pleases God. It pleases God. It pleases God to wash us white as snow. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah to His name. You can take David and present him before the Jew and show him how he never once appealed to the law. He never once appealed to the priesthood. He never once appealed to the sacrifices. He never once appealed to the tabernacle. He never once appealed to the customs of the Jews. Never once. You know what David did? He got right just like everybody else has ever got right, by repenting of his sin. Confessing them, amen. Hallelujah unto God. Praise be unto God. And that's the only way God will ever get anybody right with Him. Amen. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou spoken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Amen. I can have a fault with this brother and I can forgive him. He can forgive me. But every time I see him, it may come back to my mind. But brother, God Almighty can forgive us and it can be removed from His eyes. And He can walk up and fellowship with me and you and hug us, amen. And He never thinks about what you were, never thinks about what you've done. He never realizes a thought or brings to thought your past, amen. Thank God. Listen, God is able to hide thy face from my sins, amen, and blot out all my iniquities, amen. We need to preach hell hot. We need to preach heaven sweet, amen. We need to preach repentance real. But we better tell them, thank God, that when God Almighty forgives them, they are forgiven, amen. And when God Almighty washes them, they are white as snow, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Getting saved is not like trying out an old car. Getting saved, amen, ain't like trying on a new suit, praise God. Getting saved, praise God, hallelujah, is the work of a holy, eternal God, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, that's about all the time we have, but we are going to, God willing, continue the message in our next broadcast. We just want to thank our listening audience for their faithful listening attendance, wherever you might be, in your car, business, home. We sure appreciate you listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Well, this question on repentance, and which is only a part of the message, what we can learn from an Old Testament Jew. And I can assure you we can learn a lot of things from the Jewish people, for God has recorded many, many things and lessons and teachings in the Old Testament, commonly known as the Old Testament, but among the Jewish people known as the Tanakh, first five books of the Bible known as the Torah or the Pentateuch. And therein lies the secret to the revelation of God. You'll not find the revelation of God or the mind of God or the will of God in any other book in the entire universe. Only one place, and that is in God's holy word. And if you've been around for very long, you know it is the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Well, God bless you. Now, just stay with us for a few moments. We have a free offer, and I want to tell you a little bit about some information. God bless you.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question. Is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.